Okay, guys, welcome everyone. This is the first English spoken video that I do since the year has begun. I had a lot on my mind, some health issues, but as I've mentioned in a previous short video, I'm back. And I have decided to do this one a couple of days ago already, but then I had to do other videos about local stuff and other issues of concern. You know, this is a broad spectrum channel, but I couldn't let this one pass. There were elections in Portugal in the past 10th of November, I'm sorry, March. And Dan has a big fan of these two guys, Alex Cristoforo and Alex Mercuris, of the popular channel Duran. I'm sure many of you that follow this channel know the Duran for sure. And let me know just in advance that I'm a big fan of them. But after listening to their analysis on a reality that I'm well aware of, I couldn't help myself but to react. And so, without any further ado, let's do this.
Talk about the elections in Portugal. And the mainstream media is once again saying this is the rise of the far right. I despise this left-right narrative. I really do.
Well, just for the first sentence, I do agree with Alex Cristoforo that to characterize the right-wing party that gained the third place in the last elections, but it's not completely untrue. So Alex should do a little bit the research a little bit deeper onto this, because although I agree with him that this party, I do not characterize it. I've said this in many Portuguese spoken talk shows that I do on this channel, that I do not characterize it as the typical ultra or extreme right wing party, but it has an aspect of it that a lot of his speech, a lot of its arguments are fished from this right wing discourse, and also it congregates a lot of this right-wing neo-Nazi, Portuguese neo-Nazi people within its hordes. So, but I would agree that it's mostly a ultra-liberal and conservative at the same time, paying lip service to a bunch of millionaires kind of party.
But anyway, this is the rise of the far right, and they're talking about the Chega party, which I believe they came in third place. Yep. But I'm looking at the numbers now. I'm not sure what place. I do believe they came in third, but the rise is phenomenal.
They quadrupled, by the way, 12
seats 5 years ago
to 48.
48 seats in these elections. Not 12 seats in 2022. To now 48 seats in the 230-seat party.
Let me pause this because he made a mistake and then he corrected it. It's not 4 years ago, because every election should be every 4 years. But this election was called by the president over a scandal that made the previous prime minister resign. A scandal which ended up to be pretty much nothing. And in my opinion, elections wouldn't or didn't have to be called by the president, but this is how it happened.
Parliament in these elections, and they could be playing the kingmaker, I guess, if they decide to form a coalition with one of the...
Notice that this party, in the 2 years ago, they elected 12 seats. And the party that was in government had the absolute majority, over 50%. And against all the odds of that time, of 2 years ago, all the surveys were indicating that the right wing was on the rise already, and that one of the, well, the social democrat on the right spectrum of the Portuguese parliament was about to win. And I think people got scared of that, and they vote massively for the Socialist Party, and gave him absolute majority, which was spoiled by this little bit sketchy story, if you ask me.
The winning parties, most likely it'll be the center right party. If they do decide to form a coalition, then they could be in government. What do you think of what's happening in Portugal? The social democrat led, the Democratic Alliance is the center right party that they could form a coalition with. The other party that is pretty much even with the Democratic Alliance is the center left Socialist Party. So those are the two top parties, and then you have Chega right underneath them. Great position to be in.
It's a good, very good. In theory, it is a very good position to be in. And of course, if things were to follow the normal democratic book, well, clearly there's been a big swing to the right in this Portuguese election.
I'm going to come back to this issue
of left and right, because I agree with you, by the way. But anyway, there's been what is being referred to as a swing to the right. And you would expect that the centre-right party would therefore go into coalition with Chega. That coalition would have a clear majority in the Portuguese parliament, and it could provide a clear government to the Portuguese, to Portugal, which would be consistent with what one would assume is the wish of at least a plurality of the Portuguese electorate. Except apparently that isn't going to happen, because again, what we're actually discovering is that the centre-right party and the centre-left party, which is of course the Socialists, have an awful lot more in common with each other than the centre-right party does with Chega.
This is one of the main points that Alex Mercuris makes, which I think is spot on. Because this is my has been my criticism of these two parties throughout my years as a Portuguese citizen, is that they do indeed have slightly different speeches, sometimes really apart arguments, but in practice, in when they are in government, in practice they do very similar policies, very liberal inclined policies. They have no problem in privatization of the of public sectors and giving more money to the private sector and liberalizing the labor laws and ending regulations, financial or not being against the slackening of financial regulations and so on and so on.
Now, coming to Chega. Chega, I've been researching it. It is a by no means unusual conservative, nationalist, Catholic, I suspect, party. I wouldn't call it, from what I've read about it, far right. It's not apparently opposed to NATO. It is sceptical about the EU. It is deeply opposed to immigration. It is nationalist. It supports family values. And by the way, it supports Ukraine. So, I mean, you know, it's got, in some ways, a set of policies which, once upon a time, would have been considered fairly mainstream on the right in Europe.
Okay. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. The description for someone that follows politics and has the minimum interest in this can see that this at least this description of this party, this particular party, is at least a little bit strange. A party that gets together, congregates all these ideas that Alex Mercurius just said. And he's right, by the way. He is right. But the conclusion, then, it's not accurate and it's not completely right. Or at least, let me be humble, and at least I do not agree with it. Chega congregates a lot of ideas for one simple reason. It's because it's a market survey-derived party. This would be maybe the main ideology of Chega. In the beginnings, they capitalized on very radical right-wing ideas to capture the first chunk of support among the public. But then as the time progressed and they realized that they needed, they were being labeled this radical party, they had to open up in a broad spectrum. Of course, they always demonize the left with a complete bunch of lies and misconceptions about economy and policy and philosophy and in any kind you can imagine. It's really that populist. They go as far as to make TikTok videos complaining about speeding tickets. And so as you can imagine, I'm very doubtfully they would do anything about that. And the things they are complaining about are actually, I mean, they are of everyone's awareness that if you go in an area where it says 50 and you see a radar warning there, because the video was done within a city, and if you overspeed, you risk to get a ticket. I mean, this. Any city has this kind of rules. It's not exclusive of Portugal. I don't like them myself, but using that as campaign arguments is at least very revealing of what you're up to. And so they appeal to the old. They know there is a group of people in Portugal that are they romanticize with the past. They romanticize with the Salazar dictators, Salazar times, how Portugal was so clean and tidy and all the family was so well structured, which is a complete lie. Portugal is a very poor country, very stratified society. Children had to walk in barefoot. In this particular region where I live, if people had a pair of shoes, they would walk with a pair of shoes, not to wear them down. And then before they would get in some building or to take care of their own business, they would put the shoes on. So this is just a tiny example. And they show pictures of how Portugal was. So this is a group that romanticizes with this kind of past. Because a big group in Portugal didn't even know how to read or write. This is Salazar heritage. So, and the other aspect is now this, that they appeal for a very liberal economy. They go all in for tax cuts, for every kind, but they never mention labor laws. Never. Because the people who paid them, who financed them, would not allow that. So they never go for this kind of worker mentality of the get together and stand for your rights. They are not the kind of worker. They just point the finger at everyone is corrupt. Everyone is just feeding their own friends and family and don't care about the common worker and the common person. And so we have to end all this mess and then we can cut taxes for the workers. Of course, when cutting taxes would never go for the workers, would always go for the companies, among many other things. It's a mixed salad, only designed, and this is the point, only designed to grab the biggest slice possible of the voters. Because they, within their arguments, they even have some left wing when they claim to be beside the workers and the most vulnerable and all that shit. It's not shit, but it, said by them, I consider it to be. It's just propaganda. just propaganda, because there's nothing really that you can grab onto in their, for example, program that that can materialize that or can make that true.
But it's skeptical about the EU. It's nationalist, and it wants to take steps to stem immigration.
Skeptical about the EU, I'm not that sure, because they might mention a few things, but they are pro-NATO. They are pro-Ukraine. And so this is, in my opinion, one of those gray areas where they navigate through to get the most votes. And most of all now, they prey on the... They start preying on minorities like the gypsies, accusing them of being a burden to the state because they didn't want to work, they only lived in subsidies and all this. I tell you, for you, there are English-speaking person that do not know this reality of Portugal. If you refuse to work, or if you have some disability or something, or, I mean, if you are unable, if no job wants you working there for the minimum wage, you get from the state about 150 euros, more or less. I'm not really aware of the most recent numbers, but it's not that much. So let me know if you can live on that when a rent in Portugal, in an average rent in Portugal, is several hundreds of euros for a very tiny place. So I don't really know about that. So they prey on the unemployment. They say there are incentives for people not to work, and they prey now on the immigrants that come to substitute, the big substitution theory, to come to substitute our culture and prey on our women and do all sorts of crimes and nasty things. Although I admit there are problems with mass immigration, none of what they accuse of, what they propagate as message in subsidiary, in hundreds of subsidiary channels, is true.
So that automatically means that it has to be identified as far right. And that also means that the pro-EU parties, the socialists and the centre-right party, are fundamentally hostile to it. And it seems more likely at the moment that they will work together and try to freeze Chega out. So this is what always happens now in European elections. You get a situation where in more and more countries across Europe, people are becoming increasingly unhappy and dissatisfied with the way in which the what you might call the system parties, the parties that have dominated politics in any particular country for a long time. In Portugal, since the 1975 revolution, which...
1974, by the way.
Dictatorship of Salazar and Caetano. Anyway, the two parties that have dominated Portuguese politics since then, the socialists and the centre-right party, they've become very pro-European. They're both fervid supporters of the EU. They accept completely the whole framework of EU policies. Their policies of these two parties have become less and less distinct from each other. People.
Alex, with all due respect, there has always been a Eurosceptical party, which is the oldest political party of all political parties in Portugal, which is the Portuguese Communist Party, which had a big role before and after the revolution. And these are the really Eurosceptics, which right now in every media become suppressed, become demonized, even when they had many more seats in the parliament. On the media, you always see negative opinions about them, or at least in the panels, in the commentary panels, they were rarely appearing, less and less, and they were completely erased from the picture in these elections. Always the parties like Chega always used arguments like the fall of the Soviet Union, and the mess that's succeeded it, all of the more Stalin and all of other inaccuracies, historical inaccuracies, which the way they portray these historical events and pinning it on the Portuguese Communist Party, going as far as the accusing this party of not being Democrat when it has given every proof that it is. And yeah, and I don't know about the Eurosceptical of Chega, and let's see.
In Portugal, have become increasingly dissatisfied. They're probably most dissatisfied about immigration. They vote in the way that they do, signaling their disapproval of the
immigration has been, yes, a big game changer in the voting decision. But I will tell this. 1,100,000 about voters voted for this party. And I am sure, I'm 100% positive that the majority of these voters are pro-European Union. They didn't vote. Their motivation for voting Chega was not Portugal being in the European Union at all. I will assure you this 100%. Immigration-wise, not the same. Immigration played a big role. I live in one of the regions that voted more for this party, and we have a lot of immigrants that started to come to do various jobs where Portuguese do not work or do not do. Not because Portuguese don't want to work, it's because the wages many times and the conditions are not the best.
System. And the system just carries on.
Yeah, this is without a doubt the trend, is you end up having these centrist parties combining forces and forming a government. I think probably the best example of that is Germany, I would guess, where you end up having this middle core of left, right, center, left, right, and in order to keep the parties which are defined as being on the fringes out of power, they end up ruling, and every now and then they'll include a Green Party or something like that in the mix as well. But this is not good for Portugal, and it's not good for any European country to have these types of alliances, these types of coalitions.
Absolutely. Now, can I just say, I mean, I want to make it clear I'm not here endorsing Chega. You know, maybe that would not be a success in government, and maybe they would do bad things in government. But what is happening in Europe, across Europe, is that the electoral process, the democratic constitutional electoral process, is being in effect dismantled, because you might vote to the right, or as has just happened in a local election in Austria, there's been an election in Austria, in Salzburg. And there, a party that is supposedly an extreme left party, a party that has been a new party, working class party, left wing party, says it represents old left ideas, is against many of the identity issues, skeptical about immigration, all of these kind of things. They've done incredibly well in these local elections in Austria. But whatever happens, they're automatically frozen out. Now, there is an Italian concept which goes back to the late 19th century, the early 20th century, called transformismo, which I used to talk about in connection with the way Angela Merkel ran Germany. And it's also, I think, a good way of understanding EU-style politics, which is that you govern from what is called the centre. And you exclude everything else outside it. You push all politics to the fringes, all real politics to the fringes. What you get at the center is not really politics anymore. It's a kind of administrative state which simply reproduces the sort of policies that you get ultimately coming from Brussels. Its loyalties, in other words, are to Brussels rather than to its old electorate. Now, transformismo, when it was applied in Italy, it is universally acknowledged by historians who studied that period that what it ultimately caused was a radicalization in Italian politics, because all political energy went either to the left or to the right. And eventually, when the system collapsed, there was no center. And step by step, across Europe, we're moving in that direction. And looking at Cega, well, again, as I said, I'm not saying that necessarily a party that, you know, I would be enthusiastic about. I don't know much about it. But it's not a party that you should exclude from the political system. I think you should work to exclude parties from a democratic electoral system. I mean,
first of all, Alex, no one is working to exclude parties. This is how democracy, parliamentary democracy, at least in Portugal, works. Is that you count the seats of every party, of idea-aligning parties, the left, the right, etc. And then you make coalitions or not. And the rhetoric of each force has always been hostile. But it has lost a lot of politeness since this party arrived on the scene. And this party you are talking about, has this party somehow emerging from the will of the people against the strong powers installed in Brussels that spread the octopus spreading to the countries? And it's not like that. This is a party financed by oligarchs, Portuguese oligarchs, and not only. And it is a party where former center-right, as you refer to it, has migrated from, and other right-wing parties, the Christian Democrats that are extinguished in the parliament, and now they are back through the hand of the center-right, but they were extinguished in the last elections. They lost all seats. So a lot of people from Chega are made from these parties. So they do not represent a change. They represent a change of color, of your clothing, but not of your mind and your ideas. The big change that this party brings, it's the aggressiveness and the outright use of this playbook that anything goes, as long as you want to hear that, we will say it.
I think that whole conception, anyway, is by definition anti-democratic and wrong. And if you look, as I said, at Chega's program, it is the kind of mainstream right-wing conservative nationalist family-oriented Christian policies, you know, overtly Catholic.
By the way, they are so family-orientated that they cry out loud that they want to end the funding, the millions that go from the state to the LGBT community monster, which none exists. And the funds that they are referring to go to protection of victims of domestic violence.
Catholic Christian policies, as I understand it, which once upon a time would have been commonplace in this part of the world, and which would have been...
It's Catholic Christian to the point only that his leader, the salesman of the company, as I call it, says that his mission was given by God. Once I heard him, the first time I heard him say this in a podcast interview, I immediately start seeing pages of centuries of calendars going backwards. I don't know, until the Crusades time or whatever. You can look, don't get me wrong, I do respect every creed, every religion. Really, really do respect. I know very wonderful, outstanding citizens that are religious. But this guy is just, that's just one of his slogans, just another of his slogans to prey on the people that do like this kind of discourse. That I was chosen by God.
You've been thought of, well, you might agree with them or not agree with them, but you could, you know, it was part of, you know, the tapestry of politics in Southern Europe. The Christian Democrats in Italy, for example, once upon a time, long ago, back in the 50s, they were not so different from this. But if you keep pushing people like that aside, if you insist that anybody who deviates from the Brussels line and is at all skeptical about it, they can't be admitted into the system. You know, we have the same in the Netherlands with, you know, Geert Wilders did very well, but he's still not in power. You know, they're still trying to create parties, governments around him rather than governments with him. If you go on doing it, then eventually what you're going to do is you're going to discredit the entire system of politics in Europe completely, which is, of course, exactly what happened in Italy in the first half of the 20th century.
It's exactly what's happening now across Europe.
Exactly what's happening now across
Europe. It's what's happening now, yeah.
While I do agree with the analysis that the powers that be are too much enrooted and crust, I don't know the correct, maybe the most correct word to use in English. They are really hung on to power and have a lot of control. They do create a lot of problems to society. In my view, being liberalism or ultra-liberalism and the demise of the worker power, worker union power, for example, as a tool of improving everyone's lives, especially the ones who produce things and services for society. Instead of that, they create these monsters like Chega, which is the thought that I think both Alex Christopher and Mercury failed to achieve, is that Chega is just a product of the system that is in place. They cannot allow the anger of the people towards the system to be directed to left-wing values, to collectivist values, to anti-banking, anti-financial policy, anti-liberal values, although very progressive values as well, and humanistic. They prefer this kind of groups that appeals to the past, glorifies, I don't know, the Portuguese maritime expansion of the 15th, 16th century, this kind of things. And of course, there's a lot of disinformation and a lot of lack of education within the public, which makes them very gullible for this kind of arguments. But I think the main point that both Alex Christoforo and Mercury do here is that this is just a party that is representing the people, and the power is trying to restrain this party. I couldn't agree less with that.
He's hollowing out politics.
This is to the benefit of Brussels, though.
It is to the short-term benefit of Brussels.
The short term,
Now, bear in mind...
Do they ever see it long-term?
No, they never do. Bear in mind, the reason why Chega did so well in Portugal is because people in Portugal, clearly, a lot of them, are not happy with the politics which ultimately are being imposed on their country by Brussels. I mean...
Except... Alex Mercury is that the majority of these people do not realize that the policies that is being imposed on them come from Brussels. Otherwise, they wouldn't keep electing their local representatives, the mayors and the city halls that direct a lot of the policies that affect their day-to-day living. You are right. A lot of the policy in Portugal is directed by Brussels. We are completely dependent on the money that is sent by the packages of Brussels to the common agriculture policy, the recent funding after COVID and other programs called Portugal 2020 and 2030, the structural programs, the so-called structural programs. They are putting Portugal on the connected to a machine, on a life support machine, which without if all the money that comes from Portugal, of course a lot of it benefits other countries in Europe as well, because we are client states, right? We buy from outside, and the only things we export is mostly based on cheap labor, so it's little added value to our economy. But the thing is that no party can break that from one day to another, especially a party like Chega, which has bankers as their friends and supporters.
They're not happy with large amounts of immigration into Portugal.
But that's true.
They're not happy perhaps with some of the economic policies that the socialist governments and the centre-right governments in Portugal have been following in recent decades. Chega is a nationalist party. There may be a desire on the part of the Portuguese people to reassert Portuguese national identity. As I understand it, Chega is big on these things. Brussels, of course, opposes all of that. And the fact is, it is a pushback against Brussels. But it's a pushback against Brussels that Brussels will neither learn from nor accept. They won't modify or change or adapt their policies to take into account what...
Look. It is not a pushback against Brussels. I would love to have a live conversation or even a recorded one with these two bright men, which I hold in high regard and respect, because I rarely miss their programs. They have been my beacon, but after this one, I really had to react. I also, I'm not always in agreement with them. I've disagreed with other things they've held in the past, but I do understand that everyone is fallible, and I cannot like just start pointing the finger when I detect any kind of mistake, because these mistakes are common. But I thought it was important to clarify this about Portugal. This party is not a out of the system party that comes to break the ties with Brussels, not at all. And time will give me reason, will prove that I am right. And the immigration maybe has been the biggest aspect. Look, I'll just point you to one aspect. Algarve, which is the most southern touristic region of Portugal, was where Chega won the majority of the votes. If you look at Algarve's economy, it's an economy of rich and poor. Basically, it's an economy of private property, big hotel conglomerates, big holiday places, huge land buyouts by, for example, traditional retirees, pensioners from Northern Europe, namely England, that go there to spend their last days and buy nice houses on the hills and whatnot. And then you have the population of Algarve that live summer to summer, very precarious jobs, and now they have to compete these jobs with immigration, and so it's as I see it, it's the kind of society and economy that it's very, very liberal-wise, liberal-orientated. And it comes to that. That's the problem with liberalism. Liberalism has nothing to do with freedom or liberty. It has to do with workers losing their rights and having to compete with everyone else for a crumb of bread. And this is why they vote Chega. My town, which has shares similar characteristics, also Chega won here. So
people who vote for Chega feel, on the contrary, they'll be working at this moment in time. There'll be the phone calls going on between Brussels and and Lisbon, trying to find ways of getting round Chega. And that's what the EU always does. And you're right, in the short term, they win. And unfortunately, in the world of politics, the short term can be very long. It could be 5 years, 10 years, longer still. But in historical time, when the whole thing collapses and is discredited, it might not be that long at all.
Yeah, it goes against the entire structure of the EU, the entire goals.
Okay, I think they made that point.
Centralize more power. If you're going to centralize more power under the EU flag and the EU anthem, and all of these EU European things, well, you have to hollow out the nation state. You can't have any type of sovereign nation state, and then that's the ultimate goal of the European Union, the United States of Europe.
Absolutely.
This is where they want to take things.
Well, absolutely.
You can't have a strong periphery.
Look, Portugal has lost its sovereignty long ago, much longer before Chega came to existence, right? If you recall the Troika times, where the IMF came and with these predatory loans to demanding workers' rights to be cut off and workers' wages to be cut off and social programs to be cut off and all this terror film, which affected me personally, they didn't have any platform in place like Chega prepared, or here, or in many other countries of the south, for example, Greece as well. So the anger was directed to the rational arguments, which was indeed realistic. They pointed out what was wrong with this austerity policy, which were the left-wing parties. and then, of course, the government that was to blame at the time for the problems was the same socialist party government. So it had to be penalized. But people didn't want to move right. Right? They understood that this kind of left was the rotten left, but there was other left they could turn to. And they formed this government called the Geringonça, which is a kind of a clunky machine, if you want to translate it to English, like an invention that you do in a garage. And it becomes a clunky machine because this party is, although considered left-wing, they never aligned before. So they made this to avoid the party which had won by relative majority to become power, the right-wing, the center-right, as they call it here, together with the Christian Democrats. And so, yeah, and that was it. And of course, that is a reflection that the left has to do of those times. I do recall good things of those times, good policies. But somehow it came to discredit, and I do have many factors to justify this. But just remember this, the Socialist Party alone had the absolute majority just 2 years ago. It ditched over time the other left-wing parties that helped them to stay in power. People blamed only these little left-wing parties, the communists and left bloc, as it called, by any mistakes done. And they they went back to the Socialist Party, of course, lasted 2 years, and the result is a lot of arguments to Chega to arise. I mean, there's a lot to say about this. Look, I'm doing it roughly. Okay, don't hang me at the first mistake that you detect, because there's a lot to say. This would give many hours of program to analyze all those factors and decision making factors that made people choose this election.
You can't have a strong periphery.
My point is that Chega is not what they are claiming that it is.
And a party that is nationalist and patriotic and wants to create a strong, you know, to strengthen.
Impossible.
I mean, it, by definition.
Patriotic pro-NATO. Mm-hmm.
It's unacceptable. And of course, it has to be labeled with all the labels that you were talking about. It has to be called far right, associated with all sorts of things from the past, which, as I said, as far as I can see in Chega's case, that bears no reality to the party that it actually is.
It does. It does. I pointed out in the beginning, it's not okay, you cannot call it a whole ideology, right-wing ideology-orientated party. It is a party that has gotten the sympathy of this fringe neo-Nazis that we have in Portugal, and this people that miss the past.
Saying all of this, but that's exactly what the problem that the EU is creating. It is... If it's hollowing out the states, and it is making the conduct of democratic politics impossible, and eventually, as happened with Transformismo in Italy.
Okay, I think now it's enough. If you wanna, I mean, it's only a couple of minutes left, and less than that. And I think we heard the main point of them, and I reiterate that it is not the case. It is not an anti-system party. I mean, if you wanna see a real protest, for example, Syriza back in the time of the Troika was a real anti-system party. Of course, they did not withstand the clash with the giants of Europe, and they ended up surrendering, if I may use this term. In Portugal made the compromise of aligning with this Eurosceptic parties, but bear in mind that no minister of this party made part of the cabinet. They just negotiated very surgical laws and measures to be adopted in the parliament, and they in exchange they would have to approve the budgets of the Socialist Party, which was by all effects the party that was governing, and all the ministers belong only to this party. That's one argument that Chega makes, is that when you were there, pointing to the little ones, and says when you were there and there was never a person in the government from these other parties that helped the socialists to stay in power. Okay, if you think this video was somehow helpful, do not subscribe, do not press the like button, do not follow my channel, and I'm already able to monetize the channel, although I haven't felt like doing it yet. And just stick around. We'll be doing some work like this, and also other completely different work. And just don't go too far away. We'll be here. Thank you for watching.